Yesterday, in response to new bleak opioid death numbers, Governor Ducey declared a statewide health emergency. Last year saw a spike in deaths of about 16% over the previous year, more than a 70% increase since 2012.
And while the majority of those nearly 800 deaths were due to prescription drugs, heroin is rapidly catching up, tripling since 2012. A stat firmly rooted in opioid abuse, says Dr. Kara Crist, director of the Arizona Department of Health Services. She says 80% of heroin users started as prescription drug users.
And last year, there were more than 431 million opioid pills prescribed in Arizona. That's 62 pills for every person in the state, according to the governor's office. So what's being done to curb this abuse on the front lines where it begins, in emergency rooms, doctor's offices, and clinics? For more on that, I spoke with Dr. Christopher Wee, a pain specialist at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale. Governor Ducey listed four priorities this week, including to develop guidelines to educate healthcare providers on responsible prescribing practices. So I asked Dr. Wee to tell us first, what are things like now? Do we not have guidelines already?
So recently, last year, the CDC came out with recommendations regarding safe opioid prescribing. And so what I think it highlighted some very key points about chronic and also acute opioid prescribing.
And do people get addicted to prescriptions because doctors prescribe them too often or prescribe too many of them? Or is this sort of a different issue? Does this issue start with physicians?
Yeah, and that's a very difficult question to answer as far as, you know, where to put the blame. I think addiction is a very complex problem, correct? And I think there's a lot of misconceptions regarding opioids and addiction. Yes, what we hear a lot is that opioids are overprescribed and there's a problem. Patients can get addicted to them. You know, at the same time, physicians would not be prescribing opioids if they did not have some positive effects in the proper patient. I think that's the most important thing, is that there is a use for responsible opioid prescribing. However, there are certain prescribers that can, unfortunately, prescribe outside of these guidelines that the CDC has recommended.
Okay. And walk us through those guidelines a little bit. Give us an idea just of, you know, what is it that a physician should look for in making sure that they prescribe these in a smart way?
Sure. And I think number one is that opioids are not the first-line therapy for any type of pain. I think that's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think this is also very important, is really to establish goals for pain and function. Sometimes these goals may not be realistic, and patients may unfortunately have to live with some form of pain, and the goal should not be to eliminate all the pain. Perhaps I think what's the most important is how can we improve the function of these patients and give them a better quality of life. Other things include using the lowest effective dose for the shortest duration. Also, you know, screening patients for, you know, any high risk or red flag that would put a patient into a higher risk category into abusing the opioids.
Yeah. You know, you hear a lot about doctor shopping, a patient who doesn't get the pills, the prescription that they want, and so they'll move on to someone else who will prescribe them. How is the medical industry sort of addressing that issue?
Yeah, so I think that's a great point, right? I think that the prescription monitoring database that we have here in Arizona, I think that helps. Every visit that I have with a patient that I might think of prescribing an opioid, I make sure that I check the database to make sure that they haven't had any type of doctor shopping. If you end up agreeing and after assessing the patient think that they are a reasonable candidate for an opioid, then have them sign an opioid agreement and really educate them about the risks and the benefits and really instruct them to just go to one prescriber and then also use one pharmacy so everybody's on the same page. Also, I think it's educating the patients because sometimes the patients don't understand the potential risks of opioid medications. I think there's this misconception that if this medication is written by a physician or a provider and it's on a prescription, you go to a pharmacy, a pharmacist gives you the medication, that therefore, because of all of that, it's somehow this medication is safe and is almost better than, you know, any other illicit drug, where in all actuality, you know, these medications that are being prescribed are actually very, very strong medications with a potential of addiction, abuse, and so forth.
Right. And it sounds like doctors now are doing a better job of making that link for people between prescribing them an opioid for after a surgery recovery or something like that and people who become heroin addicts.
Exactly. And the hard thing is that although we think we have a good idea who's going to be a higher risk or a lower risk of abuse, in the end, it's hard to predict. And you made a good point. You know, patients are still going to have surgery, and they're still going to require some types of pain medication after surgery. And I think opioid prescribing is never just going to go away just because they do have a role in acute pain, less so in a chronic setting.
So what do you think still needs to change within the industry? Should there be sanctions, more training in order to get everybody on the same page when it comes to smartly prescribing opioids?
Yeah, ideally, it's always best to standardize, right? However, you know, with standardization, there always are patients that may go outside this perfect box. For example, a lot of these guidelines are for what we call non-malignant pain or for non-cancer pain.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you were diagnosed with a terminal illness and you had less than 6 months to live, actually, primarily a focus of treatment is obviously palliative care and really trying to control the pain a little bit better. So, right, there's these distinctions of these kind of unique patient populations. When they come out with these opioid guidelines, you know, they say, all right, they put a certain number of medication pills or doses. However, you know, they don't say anything about a patient that, you know, weighs 100 pounds versus a patient that weighs 250 pounds. So,
right.
So yes, standardization is a great thing, but with that comes some issues as well.
All right. Dr. Christopher Wee is an anesthesiologist and pain specialist at the Mayo Clinic. Dr. Wee, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.